Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to talk about the strike zone. Not just where it is, but how to call it and some of the things you might encounter when calling it and some criticisms you might get. And should those criticisms even affect your life? But before we get started today, I actually want to take a moment to shout out a couple of listeners on the Ask the Softball Umpires group. Mr. Bannon, his group, someone had asked, just curious if anyone is listening to softball related podcasts. And Brian Quinn linked out to our podcast through the Spotify link, which was very much appreciated. And then listener Mark Mayberry said, this one is good, and replied to Brian. So, I mean, fantastic. Anytime awesome. Anyone's going to just do some free publicity for us, we're going to freely publicity-tize them back.
Publicity ties. That's today's word of the day. Publicity
ties. Buddy.
Love it. Yeah, that's so thank you guys very much. We really appreciate you listening. Appreciate you spreading the word and then, you know, interact with us too, because some of the most fun that we get to have is to have people come to us and say, hey, talk about this, or hey, you messed that up. That's the more fun thing is when you say, hey, they messed that up. So anyway, but yeah, thank you guys very much for listening. So what are we going to talk about? Strike zone today, right?
Strike zone.
Oh man. All right. So there's a couple of them. Then there's only two, as far as I know. The NCAA one is different than all other sanctions. So the NCAA strike zone is, of course, the area above the plate from the right edge to the left edge of the plate, and then up and down from the batter's breastbone at their natural stance down to the top of their knee. So the up and down is breastbone to top of knee, and left to right is the width of the plate. Is that right, Pete?
That believe that is right. And so that is different than from NFHS and USA softball, which then go as high as the armpit. So the breastbone will be lower. So that would be a smaller strike zone in college than what you'd see elsewhere.
Yeah. And then so in high school and USA and USSSA softball, the front armpit. Now, the front armpit is pretty high, I must admit. So my daughter, a pitcher, getting called, you know, like if she was pitching and somebody called a front armpit strike, she would be like, oh, got away with one there. She's like, that's not a strike, Dad. I'm like, no, that's a strike by the book. That's a strike. And then the breastbone one, you know, it's a little easier, but it's definitely higher than the belt. Right, Pete? So
yeah. Yeah, and technically, the word in the manual is sternum.
Sternum. Oh, breastbone. Yes, you'd probably
11,
not allowed
to say breast. 11.3.1, the zone of the area above home plate between the bottom of the batter's sternum and the top of the knees when they assume their natural batting stance. Top of the ball must be on or within the horizontal plane either side and the vertical plane, et cetera, et cetera. So that's also another limitation, because in high school, it's not top of the ball. Isn't it any part of the ball?
So I believe the high school stuff that we've seen before is that the armpit, the front armpit, is the top of the zone. And so if the ball is under that, then it's a strike. If any part of the ball is above that, then it is a ball. So it's like a ceiling. So the front left arm, or the if you're a right-handed batter, the left armpit is the ceiling for the strike zone. And I'll tell you, if there's no way that anything higher than that, you know, half the ball reaches the armpit is up, that means half the ball is on the chin. So I think that is way too high. So definitely needs to be a ceiling.
No, so that's, yeah. So if we read the rule, which in this case is under definitions, section 56, strike, strikeout, strike zone, article 3, strike zone, fast pitch. The strike zone in fast pitch is the space over home plate, which is between the batter's forward armpit and the top of the knees when the batter assumes a natural batting stance. Again, same stance delineation. But though any part of the ball passing through the strike zone in flight should be considered a strike, the umpire shall determine the stance of the batter's strike zone according to the batter's usual stance. So again, it's any part of the ball, not top of the ball. So which means to me that you're saying if the ball goes through. So technically, it sounds like, and I've seen those diagrams that people put in some of the social media posts where it's if the ball goes through and the bottom half of the ball is the only thing that is below that front armpit, that's still a strike, even though the top of the ball in that point would be almost to the chin.
Yep. And here's the whole reason for this episode.
Yes.
So can you call that a strike? Should you call that a strike? So this is going to be widely contested. You know, I believe that there will be some people in the black and white of the book that say you must absolutely call that a strike. You know, if the bottom third of the ball, the bottom 25% of the ball crosses the batter's front armpit, you must call that a strike.
And that's what we're seeing actually, even in Major League Baseball with like the ABS system, with some of those strikes you're seeing hit, the ball comes in. People are actually even complaining where the ball comes in and they overturn the strike. And it's literally just the smallest fraction. Like, you know, the ball is a circle, obviously. So we're talking about like 10 degrees on the circle, you know, 1/36 of the ball is on touching that zone. And most of the ball is outside of that zone online or, you know, on the TV, and they're calling it a strike. In that case, you're saying that is the rule. That is why the, you know, the computer is calling it a strike, more, you know, computer, quote unquote. But again, like you're saying, is what should we be doing? First of all, we can't see that accurately, right? So we are judging what passed. And so that's, I think that part of this discussion comes to then now the practical limitations of human beings, because if in practicality, yes, assuming that I could then get a printout of every ball that came in, I could glance at it and then adjudicate ball or strike. That'd be easy, right? Easily done.
Right.
We wouldn't even have this episode. But the alternative is I'm looking at it and kind of as a person, if I see the ball and majority of that ball, not 36 degrees, but 324 degrees of the ball
that is.
Are outside of the zone, I probably saw that with my eyes as out of the zone.
Yep. And then if you look at the top of the zone in the high school or USA rule book, that is a very high strike. That is a keep your hands up to hit the ball type of pitch. And so a lot of times what we see are people not calling a strike that high. And it's hard to give them a hard time about that. Because we don't have that system here in the fast pitch world, especially in high school or at these summer tournaments that we go to. And then if you are the only one calling it by the actual rule, you're going to get just absolutely roasted, right? And from the, and that's not a, like I said, my daughter was a pitcher and she didn't want that strike. So there was no, if she threw one that high, you called it a strike, she would be like, yeah, I got away with one. That's not a strike from her perspective. She was a very good hitter and she would be like, yeah, I'd like to hit those balls too, but those aren't strikes. And it's like, well, by the rule book, they are. And so that's the part we're going to need some people to interact with us on, because there's some other things that we're going to talk about here in the rest of the episode as well. And we would really like to have your opinion about how you deal with this, because there's no question, Pete. I think if we watch this today, even if you're watching the stuff on NCAA, in the high zone, quote unquote, the sternum, right? The bottom of the sternum. I remember, you know, one of my assigners and clinicians actually had said one time, I really want umpires that get that pitch. And when he says get that pitch, he's talking about right there at the bottom of the sternum. They want people to call that pitch that high. And if you're watching fast pitch softball, collegiate, NCAA, Division I on television today, they're not calling that pitch. They're missing it. They're more, you know, belly button, if you will, right? Not bottom of sternum. And so so we really want people to interact with us on
that. Some
of
our belly buttons are farther away from sternums than others.
Well, mine is. Yeah. Now, the older I get, it gets further and further away, unfortunately. But so, yeah. So that's the top of the zone, though. So let's talk a little bit about the bottom of the zone. And so the bottom of the zone is the same in all of the sanctions, right? So it's top of knee is the bottom of the zone. And so if any part of the ball crosses the top of the knee and over the plate, it's a strike. And so here's a challenge that I've had, Pete, and actually had Frosty kind of question me about this in a very good way. So, you know, Frosty, not a bad call out, a good call out. You know, he's like, hey, talk to me about this, right? And so when we talked about it, here's what we talked about. My strike zone, David Trout's strike zone, historically, seems to be a little lower than some of my cohorts, if you will. They're like, oh, that was low. And even some of the coaches are like, man, that is not a strike. And so my defense is this. When you've got the batter who grabs the natural stance in the batter's box, we have a somewhat bent and maybe, how do you say that, Pete, where we're like, the knee's not just bent because she's squatted, but she actually bends it toward the middle of her body, you know?
Oh, so it's just like, yeah, kind of pivoted like, it in.
Yeah, it's kind of pivoted in. And this girl is 5'1", second baseman, and she's got her knee squatted in. Her knee is 13 inches off the dirt. And I've got a pitcher who is 6'2", standing 43 feet away, but 38 feet by the time she lets go of the ball, letting go of it at 3 feet off the ground and throwing a drop ball that comes across mid-thigh on this 5'1" second baseman and drops to almost the dirt 3 feet behind the point of plate where the catcher's sitting, mid thigh, by the way, I said.
Right. Not even that borderline knee.
That's
you're
a
up there
strike.
In the thigh meat. Yeah.
That's a strike. And the catcher caught it at the dirt. Bang. And then somebody yells, that's not a strike. And my partners say, "Ooh, that's kind of low." It's like, why do you think that's low? And
right, so, especially that's weird. Up and down is the one that if you're a base umpire, you should be able to see easier than the left and right. So if I'm, at least if I'm, you know, on the first half, but you know, assume most right-handed batters, I'm on the first base side of the field and I'm looking and I see that pitch come in, I should be able to see it come across that thigh just like you did. In fact, I probably see it better than you because I have right. her thigh, I have her thigh as a backdrop. So I can see the line literally draw across her thigh, whereas you're trying to keep the peripheral left up and down thigh with the, you know, the ball straight in front of your face. So
yeah,
I have a, for sure. I have a better view and yeah, you're getting grief for it.
For sure. And so when we've had the opportunity to have this electronic thing on there, you would say, you know, most times anything that I called that was in the lower part of the zone like that, where people would go, "Oh, that's not a strike. Go look at it." And you go, "Oh, ah, confirmed. Yes, confirmed. Dude, it's a drop ball. These kids can throw drop balls. They can throw drop curve balls. They'll move 6-8 inches. And if you give them 3 more feet to the catcher's glove, it's easy to hit the bottom of that zone and be a strike." So that being the case, however, here's the whole crux of this episode. Do you call it? So you've got a drop curve pitcher who is throwing at the bottom of the zone. She's throwing at the top of the front knee.
Mm-hmm.
She's throwing at that height and she's dropping the, that thing's falling off a cliff, right? And she's throwing it there on purpose. Do you call it?
Yeah. So this is the part, this is always where it's fun. It's like, we're on here. I almost feel like in our recordings, it's almost like giving Senate testimony. So it's like the answer you need to give. Yes, Senator, I did call that a strike, you know, and it's like, that's not, and then there's the things that happen when people are on the field. So if we were post this exact topic and we were putting it on someone's Facebook group, all the people are going to come in and white knight the answer and say, yes, every part, that 10 degrees of the ball at the top of the zone, the ball would have hit her in the, literally in the cheek if it came through. But, you know, instead, you know, it's over the plate. So it's a strike or whatever. And it's like, you probably wouldn't though. Like if I went and actually watched your game and I recorded you from center field so that I could see that zone, you probably not what you did. Right. So it's, and that's what we're trying to have is we're trying to have a real discussion and we want to have that feedback and have people come and say, people do watch us umpires. So it's like, we do get graded on our zones. So we're graded, at least feedback on our zones, I should say. You probably do get graded actually in some of your evaluations, but this is actually what we're doing. And it's, yes, I call that. I'd say, like I said, when we talked about this pretty quickly, talking to Robert Bannon in that interview episode, my zone seems to have been a little bit, if you took the true box zone, if you were to take it off a TV and just move it down a little bit, that's probably how I see it. Whereas I'm not given that top. Some of the things that may be book strikes at the very top. And like you said, I don't know in my mind if that's partially peer pressure, if that's partially what I've seen other umpires do and I'm kind of emulating that, or just part of like, I don't feel like that gets a strike as it came through. Like I didn't see it kind of that way, but I am doing what you're saying on the other part. It was like, I'm watching that front knee, then I see the ball come in. And even if it's down a little bit, by the time it even finishes the plate or hits the glove, I saw where it came into the zone and I want to call that. That's actually almost a little easier pitch to see, I think, than the one up high, even though your eyes are at that top of the zone in high school. But that's just me. And, you know, but I have the same problem in and out. So we've just been talking up and down, but Dave and I were talking before the episode of when I was at my clinic learning, just literally my initial learning how to be an umpire. And I had all of these grand ideas about what I was going to do with the zone and how perfect I was going to be with the zone compared to these fools that I've seen out here, you know, umpiring my daughter's games and everything else. Obviously, that is the ignorance of youth speaking there, the ignorance of ignorance speaking. But it was, we were calling pitches and I saw a pitch come in. I'll swear to it on the largest stack of Bibles in the world. It came through, cut probably the upper right corner of the plate off and was caught outside, caught in the river, maybe even to where the line would be. This was inside. There were no lines. There were no nothing. There was just a plastic plate thrown on the ground. And the catcher happened to be someone that had caught for our high school team that we had coached. And I was talking to her later even, and she was just like, that wasn't a strike. And I was like, but it was though. Because like the catcher didn't even want it. And so right. it was a book strike. Any part of the ball passing through any part of the zone, it passed over the plate within the confines of the up down, and they didn't want that strike. Nobody wanted that strike. So, right. You know, what do you do?
Yeah. And to my point, Casey, the pitcher didn't want it, right? So the pitcher didn't want it. The catcher didn't want it. The batter didn't think it was, you know, the only person that thought it was the umpire. And the only one that was correct was the umpire, but it was unpopular right? And I think that's the crux right there. It was unpopular. And so that's the big question to come back to, you know, our listeners, and please interact with us and let us know, will you call the unpopular strike? I've been to many a clinic where they will say, yeah, that's a strike, but you can't call it. They'll eat you up. And as soon as somebody says that to me, I get very upset right away. You say, yes, that's a strike, but you can't call it. Are you kidding me? What, are you scared? I'm not scared.
I ain't scared.
But what do you guys think? You know, there's people out there that call strikes in the SEC. They call strikes in some of the biggest games in the world, the Women's College World Series. And they've got ideas about how they deal with the fringe of their strike zones. And I'm curious as to what our listeners think that is. I take a very hard stance on the rule book is the rule book, and it's that for a reason. And you have to call the rule book, and I don't care if it's unpopular.
Yep.
If it's unpopular, you know, it's one of those things like call your congressman. Get the rule changed if you don't like it. But that's what the rule is today. So that's what we're calling today.
Yeah. And it's obviously also we got to kind of weigh in there as well. Consistency is extremely important. So even if you are calling that high strike, call it all game, call it for everyone. If you're not calling it, call it all game and call it for everyone. At least people can kind of adjust. If you're going to say, if you got a crap strike zone, at least have the same crap strike zone at the top of the first, you do in the bottom of the seventh. So kind of start there, but like work on those edges. You have every game you talk about the things that you should be working on. What am I working on this game? What am I working on this season? What am I working on this tournament? Whatever it is you're doing, maybe you start working on developing, you know, the full zone as far as that goes. Or if not, I don't know, conversation between you and your God, why is it you are not enforcing the rules?
Yeah, exactly that. So I guess before we get to our social media post here, Pete, I would just implore our listeners, talk to your mentors, figure out how you want to deal with these fringe things. We don't have the right answers here. I believe the only right answer is the black and white one in the book, but there are a lot of really smart, really experienced umpires out there that will talk adjacent to that and not necessarily on it. And so talk to your mentors and get some help to figure out how you can provide your best, most consistent strike zone to the teams that you're doing. So Pete, I think we have a social media situation to talk about that is kind of applicable to this, right?
Yep. I think you had that one. I think you had that post.
Oh, I did. Yeah. It was the Little League boys. So baseball, and a young man stepped into the batter's box and he stepped right in and he squatted all the way down. Like his rear end was touching the back of his cleats and was in the batter's box ready for the pitch. And the pitch came in to a standard strike zone and the umpire gave it a strike. And this young man had this look of shock on his face. He turned around, he looked at his third base coach and he was like, what just happened? How did they call that a strike? And what really didn't understand, you know, he was trying to shrink his strike zone, right? He put his chest, if you will, you know, at his knee length, you know, and so there was no strike zone up and down, you know, that's how he'd squatted in there. And he just could not, he was shocked that the umpire called it a strike. And so it really is that natural stance when you step in the batter's box.
Yep. And so we had, you know, so obviously that's a league. So we're applying what if the same thing had happened in a fast pitch game. But yeah, if you look at the NFHS rules, as I said again, you've got, it says when the batter assumes a natural batting stance, it does not say their natural batting stance. It addresses later, it says the umpire shall determine according to the batter's usual stance. But that is, so you've got two things kind of at play. There is the batter assumes a natural stance, again, not something egregious and almost a mockery of the game, like the crouch down bum on the cleats. But then there's also that the batter changes their stance every time, and sometimes when it's two strikes and they crouch down just a little more, that's when you start to have, well, that's not their usual stance and I'm going to ring it up, not based on them bobbing up and down a bit. Yeah, it's got to be a natural batting stance. The college one does say their natural batting stance. And then again, the pitch shall be judged in relation to the batter's natural position as the pitch crosses the plate. So even if they're standing upright and the pitch comes in and the pitch gets close and they duck, and they no, think about where they were. But right. It's still, I think, a natural stance. I don't think even the college rules, which don't say just a general stance, would allow you to do that crouch.
Do the crouching.
Crouch batting.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Pete, this one was a fun one. I enjoyed talking about this. A lot of fun.
Yep, definitely.
So, all right, folks. Well, thanks for listening.
Yep. Until next time.